aspect of the housing crisis is the amount of abandoned properties there are in this country. According to the 2022 census, there are 163,433 vacant homes in Ireland, of which 48,000 have been empty since 2016. Some people are being proactive about that by squatting in them. Members of the Connolly Youth Movement in Cork have been squatting in a building for the past 7 years. Asha Woodhouse is chair of the Cork branch. She's been there for 3 years herself. Afternoon, Asha.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Could you describe the building you live in? Is it a house or what kind of building is it?
Yeah, it's a house. It's on a terrace of houses in the city centre. So it's a fairly standard house like any other person along the road lives in or rents or whatever. When we first moved in, it had been derelict and empty for almost a decade, so it was in a diabolical state. So we've done a lot of work over the last number of years to bring it into a livable standard and to make it a home and make it a hub of activity for us in the community.
Yeah, and it, like what kind of size of a house is it? How many bedrooms does it have?
There's six of us living here at the moment. There's six rooms, and then we have a living room kitchen area that's large enough. We use the space for meetings, events, activities, things like that. So it's both a home and almost like a community resource for us as an organisation to do our political work in.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice to have. You know, we often hear about young people don't have anywhere to go these days that doesn't involve, you know, going to a pub or things like that, orientates around alcohol. So it's nice to have a space that's ours, that we can use for social activities, for educational activities, just for eating dinner together, things like that. And there's a real communal spirit about the place.
And what kind of work when you first moved in there, or when the group first moved in there, what kind of work did you have to do to it?
Oh, everything. I mean, you know, you can imagine a house left empty for 10 years. There was dust everywhere, mildew on the walls, damp. Especially because parts of the roof and stuff were damaged. So, you know, there was water damage in the house, which is quite common in houses that are left derelict. So I suppose a lot of work had to be done to make it habitable. Just cleaning, you know, we do, even now we still do stuff like replastering walls, building shelves, things like that, painting, you name it. So it's actually a great experience. You know, a lot of young people don't get the opportunity these days to, you know, learn how to fix things because they're renting and they're not allowed to fix things or paint the walls or do what they want in their own home.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have work days with the Cork branch of the Connolly Youth Movement where members can come along and they can help out with, you know, whatever it is, tearing up some carpet and sanding the floors or painting, as I said. We also have a garden out the front and the back, so we grow a lot of our own veg. It's a great, we're bringing life back into a house that otherwise would just be empty and falling into disrepair.
And do you have running water? Do you have electricity? Do you have heating?
We have running water, but we don't have electricity. And what we do for heating is we have, kind of gas super sir heaters that you can connect to a gas bottle. And then we have like a cooking stove that's connected to a gas bottle as well. So it does get cold in the wintertime. Even last night, I think the temperature dropped a bit and I was like, oh, I'm going to put a jumper on going to bed. But half the year, it's fine. So we do things, you kind of prepare for the winter then, but that's not uncommon. You know, a lot of young people are renting in houses that are freezing cold. They're not putting the heating on because they can't afford it. There's mold and damp on the walls. So, I mean, considering there's people paying money to be living in those conditions to a landlord who's profiting off it, I suppose we've become resourceful and, you just have put your layers on, have hot water bottles, use the move around heaters, things like that.
Yeah.
The one thing that is a bit challenging, particularly in the winter, is the fact that we don't have hot water. It can be quite cold, you know, even just doing the washing up.
What do you do if you need a shower or something like that?
You have a cold shower in the summer times, actually.
Oh, okay.
You get used to it. It's meant to be, you know, it's all the rage, I think, now these days, is good for your nervous system and things like that. A lot of us, you know, you might go to the gym people use the showers when you're at the gym, things like that. So it's quite good. Like, I find it quite good because you have to have a routine living in a house like this, especially not having electricity, you know. You just become much more mindful about what you're doing in your day, you know, conserving your power on your phone or your laptop, if you're going to need it for something later on, things like that. It's quite, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I quite like it, you know, because it's quite a social space for us as an organisation. You know, we don't have a TV here at all, so there's no kind of plonking down in front of a television or locking yourself in your bedroom and watching stuff on your Netflix or whatever. Although I must admit, I do miss that from time to time. But it's quite nice because, you know, you just chat to people. We all eat dinner together. You know, it's nice. I think a lot of young people these days feel quite isolated where they're living. They feel quite, you know, they're in a room and they cook their own dinner, even though they're living with four or five other people. And I think that's quite sad that people are, you know, forced into these living conditions that don't feel very comfortable. They don't feel very homely. Whereas we have the opposite experience here.
Mm. And your neighbours, do they know you're squatting there? Are they OK with all that?
Yeah, we have neighbours. We chat to them. We get on with them, you know, give them stuff from our garden from time to time. There's quite a positive relationship there.
Yeah. And do you have any idea who owns this building?
No, we don't know of any owner. We're not aware of one. And I think from what I know, that's the case with a lot of buildings across the city. There's no like registered owner and things like that. I know there has been a push by the council the last number of years to, you know, they've been putting signages on derelict properties for owners to present themselves. But it's not uncommon for there to be no known owner of a building, so we're not aware of one.
Yeah, and you've been there for 7 years. It was abandoned for 10 years before that.
Yeah,
so the owner could be dead, or it could be stuck in probate, or some sort of legal quagmire.
Yeah, I mean, we have no idea. I suppose if a situation ever arose, it's kind of, for us, it's kind of hypothetical, and it's something we'd have to assess if someone. Showed up claiming to own it, but we don't know of any owner. And as far as we're concerned, we're improving the house, as I said, otherwise it would be in condition now. And that's a positive thing.
Yeah, but if the owner turned up today, though, they could have you evicted because it's less than 12 years, as I understand it. That seems to be the threshold.
I suppose hypothetically they could if they were the legal owner. But as I said, that hasn't happened to us.
And the Connolly Youth Movement, is this the only house you're squatting in, or are you doing it in a number of locations?
No, this is the only house that we're squatting in at the moment. It's become kind of a hub of activity for us. And we've kind of prioritised bringing this house into a kind of good standard. Because I suppose housing and squatting isn't our primary focus as an organisation. The Connolly Barracks is very much a political occupation for us. It's not a traditional squat. So we see it as a form of direct action that's a useful means of highlighting and combating the housing crisis. So, you know, we're not trying to just squat as many houses as possible. We're trying to, you know, make it a political thing where we're showing people that there's this contradiction happening where, you know, we say there's a housing crisis and we have thousands of people that are homeless, many of whom that are children. Meanwhile, there's more than enough houses sitting idle and derelict. So really, it's a crisis of landlordism and of hoarding and of prioritising profit and private property over the right of people to have a roof over their heads.
Yeah, of course, you don't know, though, in the case of the house you're living in, for instance, what the reason is for it being abandoned. It mightn't always be hoarding or or greed of some sort?
Sure. I mean, hypothetically, it might not be, but like for the most part, you know, we hear horror stories about landlords, you know, doing horrible things to tenants, evicting them, owning multiple properties, not registering with the RTB, etc. So this crisis is very much artificial, and it's been created by landlords and hoarding. So, okay, sure, someone might say that not every landlord is like that, but we're talking about the housing crisis. We're not talking about individuals and what their intention is. There's a landlord class that collectively are, you know, preventing people from being able to have security of tenure, from being able to have a roof over their heads. And that's what we're making a statement against. That why should there be thousands of houses laying idle and derelict when there's more than enough to go around? There's more than enough houses to house people. And that's what political occupations like Connolly Barracks, and we're not the only political occupation to ever happen in Ireland. There's been ones previously, such as like Apollo House or that social centre in Dublin. And I suppose we'd see this as part. We're not going to solve the housing crisis by occupying a house, but it's part of the puzzle in terms of and part of the battle against the crisis of privatisation of housing and of landlords hoarding property and leaving it to waste away into disrepair.
And you work in a law firm, as I understand it, Asha. Are your employers, do they know about this? Are they okay with it? Because I suppose it's technically breaking the law.
Well, I mean, where I live, I suppose, isn't really relevant to my job. And I would say that's the same for anyone, wherever they're working. You know, your place of residence isn't really relevant to your employment. And what we're doing isn't illegal. In Ireland, we have something called adverse possession. So squatting isn't, I'm not doing anything illegal by living in a house that's being occupied. And through adverse possession, I suppose we're, in a legal sense, we're claiming ownership over the property.
But that doesn't kick in for 12 years, though, and you're not there 12 years.
I suppose if you wanted to go down the route of claiming legal ownership, but for us as the Connolly Youth Movement, we're not interested in that. As I said, it's a political project. We're trying to highlight a crisis that is affecting everybody. I mean, everybody is feeling the effects of this crisis, and young people are either emigrating or they're living in their childhood bedroom in their parents' house. Yeah. Or they're paying extortionate rents to someone and don't have any money left over to save or to do anything with it. Yeah. And that's wrong.
Yeah. You and the others that you're sharing this house with, have you considered maybe donating some of the money that you might otherwise be paying in rent to some other cause?
Well, we often do like volunteer work or fundraisers and things like that. Like every year we do a massive Christmas collection drive for penny dinners. So, you know, we're very active in our community. We're very involved in local organisations. And as I said, our focus as an organisation isn't just on squatting. We do a lot of other political work that we fund ourselves. We're a member-based organisation. There's plenty of other things that we're contributing to. And we've put a lot of money into fixing things in the house. I mean, everyone knows that building materials and things like that don't come cheap. So it's not that we're just kind of sitting around hoarding money for ourselves. Like, you know, we're young people, we're young workers. Some of us are students. We're not just like, yeah, we're not taking advantage of a situation. We're very active people in our community. And we're very active politically, and we're trying to highlight how wrong it is that thousands and thousands of people are homeless and are being made homeless and are living in precarious living situations. While there's, as I said, there's so many derelict and idle properties around, and we're demonstrating that these are perfectly, with a bit of, you know, work and TLC, these are perfectly livable houses.
Absolutely. So do you envisage that Connolly Youth will just stay in this place indefinitely and use it. And you personally, and I understand your partner lives there as well. Are the two of you going? The two of you going to stay there indefinitely as well?
I suppose at the moment, it's as I said, it's political occupation, and I'm engaging in it as a direct action as a member of the CYM. So, I've been living here for 3 years now, so I haven't really assessed how long I'm going to stay here. But, we've had the place for 7 years. So as you can imagine, people come and go out of the place and don't stay here forever, because it's part of the, for us, we see it as something that's part of the organisation and the work that we do. If people want to move in and I'm happy to move out, then we just assess that when it comes to it.
But, sure, have you, because I'm wondering, before this, have you tried to rent a place in Cork? How difficult is that?
I haven't tried to rent really in Cork, because it's just extortionate. And I'm from Cork City myself. So any time I ever did consider it when I was a student until recently, but it was always just so expensive, and it just feels so, I suppose, wrong to feel like you're being put in a position where you have to fork out 500, 600, 700 euros a month to someone, and that's money that I never had as a student, to be forking out. The only time I've had experience renting, but I lived in abroad for a year in Erasmus. Similarly in the Netherlands, where there's also a shortage of housing, and it was very hard to find somewhere. But I suppose that's my experience with it. But I'm not someone that is going to be able to afford to buy a house anytime soon on a personal level. But again, to go back to the Connolly Barracks, for us, it's not really about that. It's about highlighting the fact that there shouldn't be vacant or derelict properties during a housing crisis, and that there is no crisis of supply at all. It's completely artificial and being orchestrated by the government just to drive up the profits that can be made by the banks, the developers and the landlords.
Right. Oh, so you think the government is doing this deliberately?
Well, I mean, there's no state policy to really try to combat the amount of dereliction going on. I mean, we know the amount of derelict properties are far exceeds the amount of those that are being registered. I suppose the government are continually contracting out the building of housing as well to vulture funds and private developers, etc. So, and that policy has created this completely profit-driven model of privatisation of housing. So that's where I would see it as a government policy that is not actually doing anything to really address the housing crisis or the needs that we have.
Yeah, because someone says, is it the banks, landlords or the government? One of our listeners texted in to wonder about that. Is it all of them, as far as you're concerned? Or because, say, from the government's point of view, it might be just incompetence rather than, they're that clever.
Well, I would be careful to suggest that, the government aren't clever. I mean, there's a lot of wealth being accumulated in Ireland that is then being exported out of Ireland. So it's not that there, we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world. It's not that there isn't wealth being generated in the state. It's just being retained by the capitalist class that are accumulating this wealth for themselves, while working class people of all kinds are the ones that are taking the pinch constantly. Mm. And that is government policy.
Asha, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Asha Woodhouse there, chair of the Cork branch of the Connolly Youth.